Join me as we pray. Lord, we do thank you that in an extraordinary and an unfathomable way, you willingly set aside all glory, honor, and privileges, God. You emptied yourself. You were born in a manger. You suffered persecution, rejection, and torture. And you did it because God so loved the world. Lord, may we never take that for granted. Jesus, thank you for entering our mess and providing a means of salvation to any and all who place their trust in you as Lord, Savior, and Messiah. May that be our centerpiece for this Christmas season. And may you open our hearts and our minds for what you have prepared for us. I pray these things in Christ's precious name. And all of God's people said, comfort, I think, is something that all of us long for and crave for, to be comfortable, to have peace, and maybe a contentment in our life. But the older I get, the less I find that that's very common. Does anyone else kind of feel that? To be comfortable, to be content with the things around you. But because there's kind of always something, isn't there? Oh, if I had a little bit better car, a little bit better job. Maybe if my family members weren't like so-and-so or like thus and thus. If that person in front of me would just drive a little bit faster, right? And not be in the fast lane driving slow. If I could just have peace in my life and just rest and trust in the promises of God. But a lot of times we want to take that control. We don't want to hand it over to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Our text today is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, written over 700 years or so before Christ came. And the prophet Isaiah, through chapters 1 through 36, continually reminded Israel, both the northern and southern kingdom, that their sin was going to cause a catastrophic event in their lives. Now, a lot of times we think of the Old Testament as being God is always angry, but that's quite honestly not true at all. It's not a correct assessment of the Old Testament at all. God was continually warning those who said they believed in him, those who said they trusted in him, that their sin was getting in the way of a relationship with him. Their sin was so infecting their society and the way that they worshiped that they lost sight of the promises of God. Unfortunately, I think that's too often the case today. It's easy to look at the news and get discouraged. It's easy to see the natural catastrophes, the traumatic events that are happening in today's societies and lose hope. But through the prophet Isaiah, the message of hope continues to ring. As we allow God and the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts for the arrival of the Christ child, may we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, and may we glean hope and be reminded that we serve a God who keeps his promises. We serve a God who is always with us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We serve a God who has sent salvation to any and all who place their trust in him. If you would, and if you are able, please stand with me at the reading of God's holy word. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, reading in Christ's name. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill shall be made low and the even ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed to all flesh and they shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Lord, I thank you for these texts and these wonderful promises that you have preserved in your holy word. May every word that proceeds from my mouth be from you and not from me. And may it be in the power of your Holy Spirit according to your holy word and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. And so I'm going to keep it very brief, but that idea of comfort, that idea of the promise of God, that something greater is going to come than this life has. God keeps his promises in spite of humanity's unfaithfulness. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? God keeps his promises in spite of our unfaithfulness. And that's the message here. God comforted his people. Israel had turned their back on him in so many ways. They allowed their love affair with sin to take over their life and to control their life. But God continually reminded them that something greater was about to come. That as Malachi said in chapter 3, verse 1, that God would suddenly appear in his temple. And he did. Just as he promised. Amen. And as it talks about making every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill shall be made low, the language there is the arrival of a king. If a city knew that the king was coming to visit their city, they would go out, excuse me, and prepare the roads. They would repave the roads, regravel the roads, or whatever they did. They would make all of the bumpy places smooth. They would make all the hilly places level, so that there was no chance of the king coming in a way that would hinder his arrival. And so they checked all of the roads, and so God did that exactly, and Connie alluded to that. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, at the right time, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And who's under the law? All of us. Have any of us, maybe all of us, broken even one of the commandments? Then we are subject to the totality of the law. All of the accusations of wrong that we have committed as we sin on a daily basis, but Jesus has paid it all. He lived the perfect life that we could not. He paid for the totality of the sin on the cross of Calvary, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead because we serve a risen and living Savior. But just as Israel was given hope because, as Malachi said, suddenly God would appear in his temple, and he did, so too Jesus will come again with glory, honor, and power to not only judge the living and the dead, but to bring those who are his home to live with him for all eternity. And I don't know about you, but I do look forward to that. There are many things in this life that I love, and there are many things that give joy to my life. Music is one of them. My kids, I love my kids. I love my family. I love spending time with my family. I love Advent readings. It's such a beautiful thing. Some of these things that we take for granted, I pray that you wouldn't this Christmas season. I pray that we would all allow God to focus our hearts on really the most important reality in our lives, is that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And that we would always look to him as the author and the finisher of our faith, who willingly took our place on the cross of Calvary and handed out the free gift of salvation that came at a very high price. But he handed out that free gift of salvation to any and all who call on his name. Can anybody say amen? And so I'd like to close this brief message out with a wonderful proclamation of Christ himself in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this text and this wonderful and beautiful reminder. Thank you for the music that we are able to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. But Lord, I pray that you would do something very special and unique in every single heart under the sound of my voice. May you remind each one of us in a very personal way that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that your comfort is in the promises of eternal life, that your true comfort, your true peace comes in the eternal home that Christ has prepared for us. May we always look to you. May we always place our trust in you. I thank and praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name, and all of God's people said. As the musicians come back forward, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to leave here singing and rejoicing in the Lord. Please receive now the benediction. I'm actually going to pray for the food, so when we go downstairs, and everyone is invited, there's a bunch of food downstairs, a light meal prepared for everyone who would like to be a part of that. Please come. If you're visiting, please feel free to come downstairs and share in us a time of fellowship and a time of just rejoicing in what the Lord has done and is about to do. Receive the benediction as we pray for the food. Lord, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would bless our fellowship, bless the food and those who prepared it, and I pray that you would be glorified in this Christmas season. Receive now the benediction. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,